August 29th, 2014, and welcome to episode 168 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
I'm Cindy Rich.
I'm Mike Joyet.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And today we have a happy anniversary show.
We do.
After 7 years, this completes our seventh year of Tech Talk for Teachers.
Congratulations.
So I was looking up some stats, and I think I found that the average podcast lasts about 20 episodes. So we outlasted that a little bit. We're on 168. So, I mean, we're the longest running podcast here at EIU. And something that, takes a little bit of effort whenever you go out and put a podcast together. And another thing that I'm very proud of, we've had at least one episode every month for the last 7 years.
Very cool.
We started out doing little 5-minute segments, and it was kind of scripted and going through. But it's much more interesting having you two here to bounce the ideas and things around. So I certainly appreciate that. So this time, it's a back-to-school episode. We're right at the end of our first week of full week of school here at EIU. And let's see, we'll be talking a little bit. Mike, it's always time, first week of school.
Yeah, it's always a good time to brush the dust and cobwebs off.
All the
out of your head and off of your books.
And so, your passwords.
And your passwords and your security, your security skills.
Yeah, so we'll have a security spotlight with Mike talking about passwords and all the back-to-school concerns that we have to do. And then, Cindy, what else are we going to be talking about today? We got a new segment.
We have a brand new, it was new last time, so that was a
new
trial.
Tradition.
That was a trial run. But our keyboard shortcuts.
Keyboard shortcuts. So we'll all be sharing our favorite keyboard shortcuts and going through. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with our technology picks of the week.
That's right. See, I was distracted because I was looking up what the gifts are for 7th anniversary, and that would be copper or wool. So I'll give you a penny.
It's August, so I don't think wool's in the picture. That'll work.
I'll give you an old circuit board. There's copper in there.
Up first today is our security spotlight, and Mike Joya is back with us. So, Mike, the tidal wave has hit the first week of school.
Yes.
And I have run into a number of situations where I remind students to log out of their accounts. They're using shared lab computers. And also the password changes are, of course, people coming back from summer vacation cannot remember passwords. So there's a lot of password resets. And then the other thing that I've noticed coming back to school is starting to see a few scams, especially this time of year. If you'd like extra income, more work, click here.
Yeah.
Some of those. So let's just do a refresher of just some basic security precautions to help keep us all safe.
Well, password's number one, of course. So I feel bad for the students that forgot their password over the summer, but that means it was probably difficult enough that it was probably a decent password. So, and I'd be more happy. And, they probably should be refreshing their password at least once a year anyways.
Right. Always a recommendation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or any time you would possibly suspect something.
So. Yeah. Don't have more on the passwords. Have unique passwords for every site. I know it's a hassle, but just like this year, eBay was hacked. And just imagine if your eBay password was exactly the same as your PayPal password.
Right.
Now the hackers have access to your bank account information because you can link bank accounts, credit cards. This is basically an
online
bank.
here at the end of August, a couple of things. I'm always thinking things to bring up on the show. Morgan Chase Bank, and then what was the other? UPS.
UPS. Also. Yeah, with the point of sale one. And those are kind of hard because UPS's was point of sale. Point of sales where you swipe your card to pay for services. It's hard because it's really hard to prevent you from falling victim to anything unless it's like the experience I just had and buying some grout for a tiling project. I swipe my card and then the device asked for my social security number.
Ooh.
So I just went ahead and canceled that transaction and then swiped it again. Even though you knew it was not legitimate when the cashier is like, I've never seen it do that before. So again, there's really, except for something like that where no one should really be asking for your social security number except for a state or federal agency.
Right.
So yeah,
much different than the old days. Different than the old days. I remember when I was in college writing my social security number on checks.
Yeah, on everything.
Yeah.
Or if people had them printed on their checks.
But that's why, you know, like us, we went to the e-number and things to do more of an institutional type thing to protect that identity, because it, you know, the identity theft is so rampant now. I mean, everybody, you just have to keep your guard up all of the time.
Yeah. Always checking. And it's not, you know, too old either. I almost fell victim to it, because in the military we use that is our identification number, is the social security number, because it is a government agency.
Right.
but be mindful of those things. There's not much you can do, but when it comes to the point of sales,
you knew enough that something just didn't look right.
A little security radar went off in my head. But passwords, unique passwords for all your different sites. And then phishing, we'll see an increase in phishing right now. And as
phishing, once again, for the audience, with a PH.
Yes, yeah.
Not out there in the pond catching the local
fish. I wish I was out in the pond right now with an F. But you'll see an increase with that. New students, new environment, new area, can easily fall victim to, your account limit has reached its quota. Mm-hmm. Send me your information, because I'm not familiar with these web pages. I'm not familiar. Everything is new, even if it's legitimate or not. Of course, we'll never ask for your password through an email or through a link.
Yeah,
through an
ITS
email.
Will not.
And any reputable company wouldn't either. So be mindful of that. We'll see an increase. We might even see more of an increase as we're transitioning mail systems for faculty and staff in the near future. So you might see an increase at that point as well, because of the confusion with new systems, new interfaces. And then probably the other main one, especially for a college, more on a college campus, and maybe in secondary and primary school, is the lab environment that you may be in. These are shared devices. Make sure you're always logging off the machines. If it's just open access and you don't need to log on to the machine, don't save passwords in the web browsers, because everyone that then gets on that computer has that password to log into your
the
web
first
browser,
time.
Your email.
And that's a big one, that save password. And Tom, you broke me of that, because I always did that here on campus in my office. And it's just so easy, and it just saves a few minutes to
and
do that.
And it frustrates me to no end, because Google or Internet Explorer, and all three of them, do you want to save your password for the site? That's a default setting
in
the
checkbox.
System.
Yeah, me and too. It's like I always uncheck that. And they're, you know, sneaky, whatever word it is, it's like you'll do it and they'll come back and ask again. It's like kind of like whenever you install Java, it's like, would you like this toolbar? It's like, no, I would never like this toolbar.
Why is this default?
Right.
So those are probably the three biggest things for like students.
And also for K-12, you know, schools all across the nation, you know, we're certainly not unique. I mean, everybody's going through these same type of issues. And I know particularly in this area around here, a lot of schools are going Chromebooks and logging in, you know, with Google Apps for Education. Sure. And in a lab environment again, too, you know, you have access to the Google Drive. And I think Google finally fixed this, but not so long ago. If a student left their Google account open in Google Drive and another student came by and decided to delete all the files in it, there wasn't really a backup or recovery system. It was just like you were completely out of luck. But I think I've read that they've got some type of recovery, like a recycle bin or something.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have a question for you guys about that. If you have more than one Google account, can you merge them?
I haven't done it myself on doing that.
I somehow ended up with two, and half of my things are in one place, half are in the other. My pictures are going everywhere.
Well, of course, you do the export the data. What's Google call that? They've got a special term for, you know, freedom to get your data out. I can't remember what the exact
term.
But you can export all of that out. Of course, you'd have to import it back into whatever your exact account is. Yeah. You know, that's a common problem because, as you said, you know, whether you have an Apple ID, a Google ID, or a Microsoft ID, you end up with all these multiple accounts. And here at the university, of course, we have, you know, the business accounts that we want, you know, official university business taken care of, and yet, you know, you have access to all of these quote unquote personal accounts. And, you know, it's just a matter of policy and being smart about doing that, because, you know, that's why we have our university accounts to conduct university business.
It is, and I think we start accounts
because they're free.
Yeah, we just sign up. Sure. And, you know, you kind of either don't use it for a while, and then you get back into it and you start using it, and either start a new one or, you know,
But back to your original question, yeah, you can do that, and there's some export fees. I don't know if you have, like, you know, how much data you have, like pictures or documents or the email and things, but there are ways to archive that and bring it in. It would be a bit of a pain. It would be a bit of a pain, so unless I really wanted to do it.
I ended up with D3.
Well, see, now that my phone is I've got the Galaxy phone, and so it's linked to my Google account. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've got pictures and things going all over the place, and it never fails.
Again,
the one
back
I
to
want one place is someplace else. And it's like, okay, this is silly.
And the same thing for our students, because I've had a couple of conversations this week with students. It's like, well, that was my personal email, you know, that I sent inquiring about this or that, or, you know, doing a college registration, you know. So you have to be mindful. It's like, okay, what is my avenue?
Right.
Of communication, which is why we stress for our students that, you know, our EIU student email is the official channel. We have no idea whatever, you know, third-party service or anything that you might use.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe, you know, we'll do an update as I figure this out.
Yeah. We'll take a look at that.
We'll keep checking back every month.
But, you know, back to the back to school thing, the big thing is with the passwords, with the students changing it, the phishing, and then, just getting started and getting in the habit, two habits, I guess, of, you know, never let that computer remember your password, and then always log out. I mean, I tell the students, log out, close that browser out. Yep. And if you're super paranoid about it, open it back up. You know, type in your
name,
and see if it's there,
and see if the password was remembered.
And I want to add one more thing, because you kind of brought it up with you, like, having multiple accounts and then Google restoring their G Drive accounts if someone came through and deleted it. Is, you know, make sure you're backing up and saving things in multiple locations, because you just don't know when your computer may crash or die or something like that.
Or the internet connection is out for an extended period of time. Yep. Or somebody at one of these multi-million user accounts decides to close an account for a legitimate reason or not, or change a password. And so, the same situation applies, you know, in a cloud service. You want to be in control of your data. So if it's important to you, you know, you need to, you know, that 3-2-1 backup rule we've talked about before here. So. All right, so welcome back to school. Just, I guess, be careful out there and change those passwords. Okay, we're back, and it's time for our new segment. Cindy, do you remember what we did last time?
Keyboard shortcuts.
All right.
Or just shortcuts.
Keyboard shortcuts. Okay. Productivity, productivity, productivity.
That's it. I remember now. All right, so I guess, you know, you were kidding me about our little theme music, so I guess that'll have to do for now.
There had to be something
Yeah, so I will start this out while you two think of what your keyboard shortcut is to share. We shared several last time.
And I used the bring back the tab I accidentally closed.
Which, remember?
T. Control T.
Control Shift T.
There you go. Shift I T. Used it.
And I'll give you another one. I don't know if you use this one or not, but this is another browser shortcut that I use a lot for aging eyes. It's very, very good. To enlarge text in a browser, you can press Control and the plus key.
I use that all the time.
Well, I guess we're only doing keyboards. We're not doing mouse, are we?
No, you can do mouse with scroll wheel.
The scroll wheel.
Yeah, scroll wheel on a mouse.
Because I was going to deviate. What about, like...
see, I have this plan, and here we go. We're going off the rails. That's okay.
Like the iPad shortcuts or the iPad mini tablet shortcuts.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
so on a Mac, if you're using the Mac in a browser, instead of Control, it's Command plus.
Okay.
Or if you want to make it smaller to get it back to the regular size, Control minus or Command minus if you're using a Mac. So those are two I frequently use. And I also use that in combination with the snipping tool I think we talked about last week, because a lot of times you'll want a certain area and maybe a picture on a web page isn't quite big enough, or you want to make it a little bit bigger. Well, if you do Control+, 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 make it however big that you want, then use that snipping tool. And then Control-minus, Control-minus, Control-minus to take it back to the regular. And there's probably, I don't know, like Control-0 or something, I can't remember. Isn't there a shortcut to make it the standard size?
Yeah, I don't remember. But I always use, well, I'm using my mouse more than anything because I'm swapping from the Surface Pro screen to 24-inch.
I'm good. Control-0 will take you back to. See,
you knew it.
There we go. So. Yeah.
But on your touch screen, you just pinch in and pinch out.
Right, yeah. But some things that are good normal size, you can see it on my Surface screen. When I drag it up to my 24-inch screen, it's like super tiny.
Oh, drags it up to his 24. Okay. One of his five 24-inch screens.
No, four. I only got four 24-inch screens. The fifth screen is the Surface.
Okay.
Which is out on the blog, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a couple posts back. So, yeah, if you want to check out Mike's famous... What is it? Four 24-inch monitors and a Surface Pro, all running off one little pluggable USB device. I'll throw a link in the show notes
USB
for it.
USB 3.0. One cable to the Surface.
And I'm surprised it's not melted yet, but still good, doing well, huh?
Oh, doing very well. Very well. So love it.
Okay, so that's mine. Control+, Control-minus, and then the extra one is Control-0 to get you back to the regular size if you start messing up. So.
There you go.
All right, Cindy?
Mine actually is for the iPad mini, or iPad, the new one, and that is the four-finger swipe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, four fingers.
Yeah, instead of hitting that home button twice to, you know, go back and then open it again, that you just swipe it over and it goes and then, right to that next one.
And then I get throw one in, the five-finger crawl.
What's that?
Five-fingered close them to close out an app. Doesn't that still work in iOS 7? You got your mini there. Let's try it.
Yeah, try that.
See, this is real-time testing.
What was that?
You know, got a mail.
You edit. Have mail.
Radio edit.
A few people in the audience might get that. You know, we're old enough that they probably don't know.
I do get that, though.
AOL mail for all of you youngsters out there.
Started Prodigy.
He passed away CompuServe. Recently. The guy that was the voice that said you got mail. You got mail. Passed away recently.
There we go. See, we're learning all kinds of new things on Tech Talk for Teachers. All right, so does that work to close?
It did.
All right. The five-finger grab claw, whatever you want to call it. And then you're getting spoiled with your Samsung S5 because you're not even touching things anymore. Aren't you still doing the hand gestures?
Yeah, hovering over it and making it do. Actually, I stopped doing that because I was confusing myself.
Yeah, the day that we were doing it, I thought that might be trouble.
There were a lot of things popping up that I wasn't really meaning to pop up. And if I just held my hand over it, my email, the whole email would show to anybody that was around. So I was like, yeah, that might not be a good idea to do that. But I do regularly now use the swipe over to do screenshots.
Yeah,
because I was struggling with that a little bit in the beginning, and that. But yeah, so now
do you know how to do a screenshot on your iPad?
Yes, she does.
It's that's whatever cool. buttons, the top and the front. Usually, I have
the
to do
whatever
it.
Button.
I usually turn it off.
She's
at least
a kinesthetic
once
person. And it's like she's got. I mean, I'm the same way. You know, what's my password? I don't know. I just type it.
Exactly.
It's like it's in your finger memory.
But,
so,
but yeah,
home screen power on button.
Is that it?
Yeah.
But when I got this, I couldn't figure out how to do the screenshot on the Galaxy S5, and you just do that. And that's how you do a screenshot. Wow. So,
you got an eclectic mix of devices here. Yeah. So.
And none of them do the same thing.
No,
so.
Unfortunately.
You can't see it on here. We got a Surface, and an iPad mini. And
got your iPhone on you?
Well,
what are you carrying
in my
now?
Pocket. Okay. Yeah, I haven't bit the bullet for a Windows phone.
You're waiting for next week for the big announcements?
Is that when they are? Is next week?
September 9th, something like that, I think, coming up. We'll all the vendors, I think Apple has an event. Possibly new iPhones, probably larger screens. But
possibly.
We'll find out in a couple weeks.
Curved screens? Is that still the rumor? Are they mixed that yet?
No, that's the Samsung Gear has got the little 2-inch curved.
There was possibly an Apple too.
Well, I'm sure they're working on one.
Did you see the new BlackBerry device coming out?
No, I haven't seen that.
Speaking of throwback, the BlackBerry
keyboard
device.
Keyboard and all.
Full keyboard, and it's very close to the size of an iPad mini, and it's a phone. It's huge, but it has a full query keyboard. But the cool technology on it is they got rid of their trackpad/trackball thing. The keyboard is the trackpad. So you just swipe your hands across the keyboard. not pressing the buttons, but just swipe it across.
Touching it, or just mm-hmm, a button?
Just touching it, but you don't press the, you know, you don't press down the keys. We'll move the devices that has like shortcut features and stuff like you would do on a touchscreen, but it's on the keyboard itself. So it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
Way off topic.
That's okay. We'll get you back on track here. Keyboard shortcut.
Well, of course, I have to do the security one. The lock your screen is the Windows delete key. If you have that, I'm thinking
Windows L,
because I'm thinking Control Alt Delete too.
Yeah, you Control Alt Delete.
Control
always.
Alt Delete, and then
I can type my password back in.
Yeah,
don't look.
Well, I had a keyboard; it didn't have a Windows key for a while, so I was used to the Control Alt Delete.
Yeah, Windows key L on a Windows 7 or Windows 8 machine will go to the
Well, there's another shortcut. Control Alt Delete takes you to the Task Manager.
Yes.
Yep. Where you can lock, switch user, sign out, and go to Task Manager if you need
change
to.
Change your password, too.
Yep, change your password.
That's one of the old faithful ones. Yeah. It's been around forever.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then my other one that I use this a lot when I was in school and typing is the control arrows will jump whole words across the screen in Word.
In Word.
That's cool.
As opposed to, he's trying it now.
So no, it doesn't Word.
Yeah, which was great to just kind of jump around a sentence without using home and
or having to get your mouse and
click.
We really do need a video camera on Tom.
Yeah,
during
watch
these.
Him doing
these
things.
I got to make sure they work because I don't want to come out with an errata afterwards. Oh, you know, we'll have. And here's our corrections from the last show. make sure they all work.
Some caveats.
Let's just put a link to Tom's interpretive dance of the program.
Yeah. We'll get him a Go Mobile, whatever
camera.
We'll put it on your headset.
GoPro.
GoPro. Head.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, I'm cheap entertainment. What can I say? Okay. So that's half a dozen or so different keyboard shortcuts. So we better wrap it up before we get in any more trouble.
This new special features are going to run out fast. You got two months.
Yep. So that concludes it for this edition of
Keyboard Shortcuts for Productivity.
My technology pick of the week this week is kind of a mulligan, a do-over from last time. I believe I picked Office Mix last time, and I had played around with it just a little bit, but since the last time that we talked, I've really gotten into exploring the features a lot deeper, and I'm really liking what I see. I created an Office Mix, which what it is a PowerPoint plugin for Office 2013, and it makes it very, very easy to do online PowerPoints to post for like distance learning type things. Very, very easy to do. If you have a webcam on your desktop or laptop, you can record and put the little picture of the talking head up in the upper right-hand corner, you know, do a little talk, and then go to the next slide, and you can take the camera away and just do your, you know, your point by point by point. It's interactive. It has pen support. So as you talk, you can illustrate, annotate right on top of it, and the Office Mix program is recording all of that in real time. So it's essentially like a screencast of your PowerPoint presentation for students. Some people are using it for flipped learning, for flipped classrooms, where the teacher will go out, and I'll provide three or four Office Mixes from the gallery. I was also lucky enough to get one of mine, the Office Mix in the technology gallery, so I'll provide a link in the show notes for that. But I made an Office Mix about using our wireless video in our classrooms. We've been using that a lot, and I've had a lot of interest in it. So instead of me going to a classroom like with all of our students, it's out there for on-demand viewing. And I've also got a little YouTube video that goes with it. So not only do you I explain the technology behind it, but you actually get to see it, you know, in action and working. And then the other big thing that it provides is analytics. If you want to do some polling, it, you know, instead of just a typical PowerPoint, you know, set and get type lesson, you can sprinkle polling questions throughout, and then it has real-time analytics. So if a person signs in with a Microsoft account, you actually see their username. Most of mine are anonymous. I'll provide a link out there, you know, if you want to go through. But at least that tells you, like, how many slides did they click on? You know, how far into the presentation did they get? And those of you out there familiar with the Khan Academy, it has something similar like that. But this is a free tool, a free plugin, two kind of interesting ways of using it. You can use it for storytelling. There was an example out there of using it for Peter and the Wolf, where a teacher was doing a lesson playing the orchestral music from Peter and the Wolf and then posing questions like, okay, here's the section of the French horns. Let me see. I don't know if I've got that. Let me see if I can pull that up. So here's an example here. Let's just take about a minute to listen to this to get an idea what it is.
Recognizing themes. Today, you're going to listen to the characters from Peter and the Wolf and try to guess which theme goes with which character. Get ready. If you guessed the French horns playing the wolf, then you were right.
Good job.
Okay, so that's just an introduction for, you know, in this case, a music example here. But you can sprinkle in the interactive polls where a student can go up and kind of a multiple choice type example for a poll. What I like about this is it shortens that feedback loop in the teaching and learning. It gives you evidence that, you know, a student's listened to it by providing the analytics. Mm-hmm. It gives you how many seconds a student was on a slide and so forth. So, I mean, learning analytics is something that's, you know, kind of big in teacher education right now. And as I said, this is a free plugin if you upload it to the gallery. The other one that I really like that I'll share with you is a lesson on photosynthesis. And I think this was like a high school. Yeah, I know.
Science guy.
Science guy. But there was a high school, I think, believe it was high school, doing a lesson on that and then showing the interactivity of using the pen and annotating, you know, that real-time type component. So it really felt like you were, you know, sitting there kind of watching a lecture, except it was all captured online. And I can see this being used very easily in storytelling. All the animations and things are very, very smooth. So I'm going to, like I said, kind of redo that Office Mix pick from last time and choose that again for my technology pick of the week. Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, mine, sort of a different direction, I don't think we've talked about before, is Spotify.
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah. In the news recently.
And, oh, I missed that.
Go ahead.
Well,
let's see.
You'll have to tell me what was in the news. But I don't know exactly how it works in that, but just the variety of music and things that are available are just awesome. And I find that I'm more and more using my playlist, but also playlists that other people have created and shared and put on there for different things. And it's neat because, you know, there's just a playlist for everything.
Right.
And there's for exercising and working out, but then just, you know, different moods, different events, different occasions and all of that. Or if you like this person, you might like this. You know, and so that was sort of like the Pandora thing where you'd pick an artist and then they'd make a station based on that that was similar and that. But, you know, for a free service.
Right. What I saw in the news was I believe they just recently came out with a Windows Phone app for free.
Oh, okay.
So it used to be, they used to charge, didn't they? Wasn't a monthly fee. I don't know if they're...
There still is a monthly you can, like, upgrade to, but it's free.
And you get advertisements and things probably periodically.
Right.
I mean, it's like Xbox Music does, unless you want to pay the subscription.
Right, because you'll be listening to it, and then all of a sudden there'll be a little commercial in there between the songs. Right.
Just like radio, I mean, you know, for a year or so.
Exactly, but I got it on the iPad for a while. You couldn't get it on iPads.
Yeah.
And now you can get it on iPads, too, and then I know a lot of, you know, students and that have it on their phones. Now I don't know what kind of data that would go through.
I've been using Slacker and Pandora, Slacker Radio and Pandora for a while, and it doesn't go through much data at all. So I don't think it will eat up that much.
That's good.
All right, Mike.
Nope, my turn. Mine's going to be even more different. Mine is made the decision to over Thanksgiving to go to London. for a little while. And then I got to thinking, how am I going to carry all my equipment with me? You know, because I like to carry all my electronics with me on the plane. And I found this actually pretty cool website. It's missionworkshop.com. And they sell, I think their main clientele is bike messengers, but they sell bags. And the one that I thought was particularly interesting was, they call it the ARC-V Field Pack. And it's a backpack, but it's modular. It lets you add pockets and different compartments to this bag. So like if you carry
kind of like a Scotty vest type,
like Scotty vest, or like you know, military gear, like military gear that you can add different pockets and stuff. But you know, it doesn't look like military gear, so but like you can add like two drink pouches on the side, so if you decide to carry two water bottles or a water bottle and a soda, you have two or if you decide you just want to carry one water bottle that day, you can take it off. Special little wraps for like iPads and stuff that makes like little envelopes to protect them.
Cushions
and stuff
them.
Yeah, to put it in. So I thought it was really interesting to see these modular backpacks and be functional, because like you can only have a certain, you know, you can only have a certain size as a carry-on, but you could also do the backpack and a carry, you know, they always have that personal item, you know, that's for like women's purses and
briefcases,
so you could like use a regular backpack and then break this one down into an even smaller one to be like your personal, so you can get, you know, it'd be pretty cool to see how much you can carry, you know, with you on the plane before you have to check a bag. Of course, I think internationally they don't charge you for one check bag anymore. Oh. So, but so I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is cool.
For all the travelers out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, thank you. That wraps it up for episode 168 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. It was good having the gang all back together this time. Thanks to Mike and Cindy for coming back after the summer break and coming through. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. If you would like to leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom,
Cindy Rich,
Mike Joya.
Keep on learning.